نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا يحب الله الجهر بالسوء من القول إلا من ظلم وكان الله سميعا عليما. إن تبدوا خيرا أو تخفوه أو تعفو عن سوء فإن الله كان عفوا قديرا. Allah does not love that evil should be uttered aloud except by him who has been wronged. And Allah is ever all hearer, all knower. Whether you disclose a good deed or you conceal it, or you pardon an evil, indeed Allah is of pardoning, all powerful. We find in the beginning of these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the believers something. The believers are supposed to cultivate purity, not just in externals, not just in our rituals or in our appearance, but in internals as well, in our speech as well. Sibghat Allah, take on the colors of Allah. That means that our conversations should reflect our Islamic identity. Our mode of dress should reflect our Islamic identity. Our way of speaking to others, our interactions, our business dealings, all should reflect that we are Muslims, ones who have submitted to Allah. So Allah says, Allah does not love that evil should be uttered aloud. And this is the beauty of the Quranic style. It's not a monotonous discourse, do this and don't do this and this is good and this is bad. Allah doesn't say that don't utter evil aloud. Allah encourages us by reminding us of His love. Allah says, Allah does not love that evil should be uttered aloud. So if we seek Allah's love, we will avoid all those things which displease Him. Now what is su? What does su exactly mean? What is evil? Evil in speech basically is fighting, taunts, cursing, abusing, backbiting, gossip, slander, lying, everything which we know is displeasing to Allah. We find that the heaviest good deed in the balance will be good manners, beautiful conduct. Why is that so important? The Prophet ﷺ was told in the Quran, إِنَّكَ عَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are on an exalted standard of behavior. And لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. There is for you Muslims a beautiful example in the Prophet of Allah. There is one exception, إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ, except the one who has been wronged. Islam doesn't require us to unnaturally go on bottling up our resentments and our wrongs until, you know, we explode. Allah says, if you have been wronged by someone, someone has been unjust to you, you are allowed to seek redress. You can have recourse to speaking out. But whom should we speak out to and how should we speak out? For instance, we find in a hadith which says, if two men are abusing each other, the sin is on the initiator, the one who started it, as long as the wrong stays within limits. In other words, if someone starts abusing us, we are allowed to retaliate, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but we are supposed to stay within limits. And Allah goes on to say, Allah is all hearer, all knower. He can hear what we are saying and He knows the truth of the matter. He knows the truth of the situation. See, in Islam we find, although Allah has allowed us to retaliate, we are encouraged to forgive. وَلَئِن صَبَرْتُمْ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. If you are patient, that is better for you. How is that better for us? We can understand it by means of a beautiful story from the Sunnah. Once Hazrat Abu Bakr was standing with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a man came up and started cursing Hazrat Abu Bakr and swearing at him and using foul language. Hazrat Abu Bakr was silent for some time. And the time that he was silent, the Prophet ﷺ too was smiling quietly. Now finally Hazrat Abu Bakr could bear it no longer and he burst out and he responded. As soon as he responded, the Prophet ﷺ just left and just walked off. So Hazrat Abu Bakr immediately ran up to the Prophet and said, O Prophet of Allah, when that man was abusing me, you were silent. But when I spoke out because I could bear it no longer, you walked off. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, O Abu Bakr, when you were silent, the angels were answering for you. لَإِن صَبَرْتُمْ, if you are patient, فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That is better for you. But for those who feel they cannot do that, Allah has given us this outlet as well. Allah is all-hearer. He can hear what we are saying. All-knower. He knows the true truth of the situation. إِن تَبْدُوا خَيْرًا, whether you disclose a good deed, أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ, or you conceal it, أَوْ تَعْفُوا عَنْ سُوءٍ, or you pardon an evil, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. Remember, Allah too is of pardoning, all powerful. Allah encourages us to forgive people. Allah says, remember, when you forgive someone, that's a very heavy good deed being recorded for you on your behalf. And if you are forgiving someone, you're really not doing something that wonderful because you're simply emulating Allah. Allah is all pardoning and all powerful. See, sometimes someone wrongs us, someone hurts our feelings, and grudgingly we forgive them. Or we forgive them because we don't have any options. There is no form of revenge we can take against them. Allah reminds us that His forgiveness is so much greater. He has the power to punish us. He has the authority to take revenge whensoever He wishes. Despite that, He forgives us. Afuwan qadira. That is true forgiveness. When you can punish someone, you can retaliate, and still you hold back. And the Prophet ﷺ once told us, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Emulate the conduct of Allah. Try and take on the qualities of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us forgiveness every minute of the day. As Allah says in the hadith that, O my slaves, you sin day and night, and I forgive all sins. So Prophet ﷺ said that we too should try and take on that conduct. Allah goes on to say now about the kuffar. Indeed, those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers and wish to make distinction between Allah and His messengers by saying we believe in some but reject others and wish to adopt a way in between. These days we find different kinds of cults and creeds. We find people who say, I believe in God but I reject organized religion. And we find people who say, I believe in the messengers but I don't believe in Prophet Muhammad, like the Jews and the Christians. And we find people who reject some other prophets. Allah says, they are in truth disbelievers. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّى. Why? Because in Allah's eyes, to disbelieve in any aspect of al-ghayb is to disbelieve in all. And we have prepared for the disbelievers a humiliating torment. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. And as for those who believe in Allah and all His messengers, and do not make any distinction between any of them, we shall give them their rewards. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. And Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. يَسَأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ. Allah tells us what excuse it was that the Jews used to present for their disbelief. The people of the book ask you to cause a book to descend upon them from heaven. Indeed, they asked Musa something even greater than that. When they said, show us Allah in public, but they were struck with the thunderclap and lightning for their wickedness. Then they worshipped the calf, even after clear proofs and signs had come to them. Despite this, we forgave them, and we gave Musa a clear proof of authority. The Jewish leader came up to the Prophet ﷺ and said, you know, our main problem in accepting Islam is that the Quran is coming in installments. And were it all in one hole, then we would accept it. And we too find people who say, you know, I can't accept polygamy. Apart from polygamy, I don't have any problem with Islam. But because of that one aspect, you know, I have to wait a little time. Allah says, they are just excuses. And for their covenant, we raised over them the mount, and we said, enter the gate, prostrating with humility. And we commanded them, do not transgress on the Sabbath. And we took from them a firm covenant. Because of their breaking the covenant, and of their rejecting the signs of Allah, and of their killing the prophets unjustly, and of their saying, our hearts are covered. Nay, Allah has set a seal upon their hearts because of their disbelief. فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So they do not believe but a little. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is underlining the category of crimes that the Jews had committed. Amongst these crimes, which is the one that is mentioned first of all? They broke the covenant. Now we Muslims too have made a covenant with Allah. What is that covenant? La ilaha illallah. Do our lives embody la ilaha illallah either in our speech or in our dress or in our behavior towards people? And if we're not acting upon la ilaha illallah, then we too have broken the covenant and we can expect the punishments that they received. And because of their disbelief and uttering against Maryam a grave false charge, and because of their saying, we killed the Messiah, Isa son of Maryam, the messenger of Allah. See, what happened was that when Isa alayhi salam came, he was principally preaching to the Jews, to the Jewish priests who had distorted religion. And he was trying to rectify them and reform them. Now this was something that was obviously objectionable to them. So to silence him, they started those ancient rumors that his mother Nauzubillah was an adulteress and she bore an illegitimate child. And after that, what happened was that they launched a conspiracy against him with the Romans and tried to kill Isa alayhi salam. Now here Allah tells us, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ. They did not kill him. وَمَا صَلَبُوهُ. They did not crucify him. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. It was made dubious for them. It was made doubtful for them. and those who differ therein are full of doubts. They have no certain knowledge, they follow nothing but conjecture. وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا And they did not kill him with certainty. So if they didn't kill him, what truly happened? According to one theory expounded in this book, Jesus, a Prophet of Islam, Judas Iscariot, a disciple of Jesus, was won over on the promise of receiving 30 pieces of silver if through his help Jesus was arrested. In order to avoid any further trouble, it was decided to make the attempt at night. On reaching the place where Jesus had gone with a few of his followers, Judas was told to go up to Jesus so that the foreign Roman soldiers could identify him. The plan miscarried. When the soldiers materialized from the darkness, a tumult ensued. The two Jews were mixed up in the dark and the soldiers mistakenly arrested Judas instead of Jesus. It's said that he was made to look like Jesus, but this is just a theory. Thus the latter made good his escape. And according to this book, Judas is the one who was actually crucified. Now what's important for us is what we find in a hadith. Allah tells us in the Quran, مَا قَتَلُوهُ يَقِينًا They definitely did not kill him. What happened to him then? بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ Allah raised him to himself, bodily and spiritually. Now we find corroboration of this in more than 100 ahadiths in which the Prophet ﷺ told us that Isa a.s. is not dead, he is alive and he will come to earth again. And when he comes to earth, the hadith words read like this, By him in whose hands my soul is, surely Jesus, son of Maryam, will shortly descend amongst you Muslims and will judge mankind justly by the law of the Quran and he will break the cross and kill the pig. Now this hadith proves that when Isa alayhi salam will come, he will finish Christianity as it exists today and he will implement the laws of the Quran and the Sunnah. So he won't be the last prophet. He will be implementing the laws that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. And when that time comes, he will kill Dajjal, the Antichrist, and everyone on this earth will become a Muslim. And this we find, as I said earlier, in more than 100 ahadiths. Do you doubt that? Allah says, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا Allah is all-powerful. He is able to do this. Hakima, all wise, in his wisdom, he knows the right time for Isa a.s. to descend. And there is none of the people of the book but must believe in him before his death. And on the day of judgment, Isa a.s. will be a witness against them. And we'll read an account of that later on at the end of Suratul Maidah, inshallah. Because of the wrongdoing of the Jews, we made unlawful for them certain pure foods which had been lawful for them and for their hindering many from Allah's way and their taking of interest, although they were forbidden from it. Now I'd like to mention something here. When we read an account of the Jews, we shouldn't be reading it with complacency thinking, oh, these wicked Jews. We should be analyzing our own ummah. Because if we're committing the same sins, then we come under the same category. Allah says they're wrongdoing, they're stopping many from Allah's path. And today too we see that because Muslims have such a bad reputation all over the world, every convert who converts generally always says, I used to think that Islam was terrorism and I used to think Islam was fanaticism. Who spread this reputation for Islam? We Muslims. Allah says because of their hindering many from Allah's path. In other words, we bear such a grave responsibility that every time I disobey Allah, I'm setting a bad example for others. Every time I cheat someone else, I'm telling people that Islam teaches me to cheat. And they're taking of interest. Again, Allah mentions interest here. Although they were forbidden from taking it, we Muslims have been forbidden from taking it too. And they're devouring of men's substance wrongfully by means of bribery and cheating and blackmailing and theft. And we have prepared for the disbelievers among them a painful torment. We need to understand that one aspect of kufr is disobedience. Shaitan did not say, I don't believe in Allah. He said, I'm not going to obey Allah. So if Muslims nowadays are saying La ilaha illallah, but in their personal lives, in their business lives, are doing exactly what they feel like doing, then they are committing this form of satanic kufr. But those among them who are well grounded in knowledge and the believers believe in what has been sent down to you and what was sent down before you and those who establish salat and those who give zakat. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ Those who believe in Allah and the last day. Why has iman been mentioned after salat and zakat? Because Allah is telling us that they are reading this salat not to show people how pious they are. They are giving this zakat not so that their names come in the newspaper. They are doing it for Allah. They are doing it for fear of that last day when they will be asked about their wealth, when they will be asked about their time, when they will be asked if they read their salat or not. أُولَٰئِكَ سَنُؤْتِيهِمْ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. It is to they whom we shall award a great reward. إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ. Indeed, we have sent the revelation to you. This Qur'an which we treat so lightly, this Qur'an which we keep for the month of Ramadan, Allah says, it is we who have sent this revelation to you. As we sent the revelation to Nuh and the prophets after him, we sent the revelation to Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yaqub, and the children of Yaqub, Isa, Ayyub, Yunus, Harun, and Sulaiman, and to Dawud we gave the Psalms. And messengers we have mentioned to you before, and messengers we have not mentioned to you. Unto Musa Allah spoke directly. Why did Allah send all these prophets? رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ. Messengers as bearers of good news, as well as of warning, in order that mankind should have no argument against Allah after the coming of messengers. What do we say if someone asks us about something? I didn't know I had to do this. I never knew this. Allah says, don't you understand, mankind? The prophets have been sent to you. Now no one can turn back and say, oh, no one ever told me. Like people say, don't tell me, because if I know, I have to act upon it. That excuse will not hold with Allah. Allah says, messengers have been sent, so now mankind will have no argument against Allah. No excuses, no justification for turning back. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَزِيزًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah is all-powerful, all-wise. Allah bears witness as to that which He has sent down to you. We're not interested in reading the Qur'an. We're not bothered about reading the Qur'an. Allah says, I don't need your testimony. I don't need your reading of the Qur'an. I myself bear witness as to the truth of this Qur'an. أَنزَلَهُ بِعِلْمِ. Allah has sent it down with His knowledge. Every word in this Qur'an contains an ocean of meaning. Every word in this Qur'an is so important for us and for our own good. And the angels too bear witness. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. And Allah is all-sufficient as a witness. Indeed, those who disbelieve and prevent from the path of Allah, أَضَّلُّوا ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. They have strayed far away. Do you know what ضَلَالَ means? ضَلَال is an arrow that misses its target. You know, when you aim an arrow at a target and the arrow goes off in another direction altogether. Allah says people who are just busy having a good time, disobeying Allah, doing what they want, setting a bad example for people, discouraging people from coming to Islam, they should know that they have gone off in the totally wrong direction. Indeed, those who disbelieve and did wrong, Allah will not forgive them. People say, oh, Allah wants us to sin because He is Ghafoor Rahim. Allah wants us to sin so He can forgive us. Allah says, those who disbelieve, وَظَلَمُوا, and do zulm, do wrong, Allah will not forgive them, nor will He guide them to any way except the way of hell, to dwell therein forever. And this is ever easy for Allah. Ya أيها الناس, O mankind, قَدْ جَاءَكُمُ الرَّسُولُ بِالْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. The messenger has come to you. No turning back now, no more excuses. The messenger has come to you. بِالْحَقِّ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. With the truth from your Lord. Rabb is one who creates, who nurtures, who nourishes. If we believe that Allah is sustaining us physically, if Allah is sustaining our bodies, how then can we say Allah is not concerned about our spiritual nourishment? Mir Rabbikum, very significant word here. The truth from your Lord, the same being who is sustaining you, nourishing you physically, is equally concerned about your spiritual nourishment. Fa'aminu, so believe. An imperative. Not think about it or it's up to you. Aminu, believe. Khayran lakum. Why? Because it is better for you. That is the only path of salvation. وَإِن تَكْفَرُوا. But if you disbelieve, if you turn away. فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Know that to Allah belongs all that is in the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need us. We need Him. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ أَنْتُمُ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى اللَّهِ. O mankind, you are the beggars before Allah. Allah does not need us. And Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. O people of the book, لا تغلوا في دينكم. Do not exceed the limits in your religion. ولا تقولوا على الله إلا الحق. And do not say about Allah anything but the truth. We need to understand this ayat. It's a very important ayat for us as well. See, whenever Allah addresses the Jews and the Christians, we too are being indirectly addressed. Because they were the ummahs before us. And if Allah is commanding them to do something, then we need to be alert as well. Allah says, لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. Now this word غُلُوب is very interesting. غُلُوب means two things. When you exaggerate someone's status, or when you debase someone's status. For instance, we find both extremes in our society. We find people who exaggerate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's status from a prophet of Allah to Noor. People who say, oh, the Prophet is part of Allah's Noor. People who say, oh, the Prophet is suspended between Allah and mankind. People who in Milads get up because during Salam they say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is passing through this assembly right now. The mushrikana nats that we have invented, in which, you know, really blasphemous words are used, that cling to Muhammad and forget about Allah, things like that. This is one aspect of ghuluv. What's another aspect of ghuluv? The other extreme, when we debase someone's status. Muslims who say, well, we don't know which ahadith are authentic, and the Prophet was sent for those times, he wasn't sent for us. It's enough that I read the Quran on my own and I can figure it out for myself. I don't need the Prophet's interpretation. I mean, he lived 1400 years ago. How can his rulings apply nowadays? That's just way too backward. That's the other aspect of ghuluv. Now, we need to understand how grave a crime this is in Allah's eyes. And we can understand this by means of several ahadith. Once a man came into the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and started gushing, and he started saying, oh Muhammad, oh our leader and son of our leader and the best of us and son of the best of us. And you know, we too like to make statements like that, oh you're so pious and Allah must really love you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ayyuhan nas, oh people, beware of what you say. Be careful of what you say. I am Muhammad, son of Abdullah, I am the slave of Allah and His Messenger. When we read Salat every day, what do we say? Ashhadu Allah ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Abd comes before Rasul. Let's not forget that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, let not shaitan delude you. I am Muhammad, son of Abdullah. I am Allah's slave and His Messenger. And by Allah, I do not wish that you should raise me above my status, which Allah has granted me. On another occasion he said, cursed are the people of the book. They made their prophets' graves places of worship. Do not make my grave an eid. And even today in Medina, you see women who are actually doing sajda before the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People who are praying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam simply said to us, if you wish to do something for me, send durood on me. And the angels will convey it to me. That is what he told us to do. Not have milads in which we are singing mushrikana nats. Allah says, La taghlu fi dinikum. It's a very dangerous matter to exaggerate the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's status or anyone's status above the status which Allah has granted them. And do not say of Allah aught but the truth. Innamal Masih Isa ibn Maryam Rasulullah. Indeed the Messiah, Isa son of Maryam, was a messenger of Allah. And his word, be, which he bestowed on Maryam, and a spirit created by him. So believe in Allah and all his messengers. وَلَا تَقُولُوا ثَلَاثًا. And do not say three. Trinity is being negated here. Cease, it is better for you. Allah is the only one God. Glory be to him. Far exalted is he above having a son. Why should he need a son? To him belongs all that is in the heavens and all that is in the earth. And Allah is all-sufficient as a disposer of affairs. The Messiah will never be proud to reject to be a slave of Allah. Allah says Isa alayhi salam is proud to be a slave of Allah. Why do they need to elevate him to the status of Allah's son? He is proud just to be Abdullah. Nor the angels who are near to Allah, and whoever rejects Allah's worship and is proud, then he will gather them all together unto himself. So as for those who believed and did good deeds, Allah will give them their rewards and more out of His bounty. But as for those who refused His worship, wastakbaru, and were proud, He will punish them with a painful torment. And they will not find for themselves, besides Allah, any protector or helper. Now we need to understand this ayat. What is arrogance? We know that arrogance was the satanic sin. Allah says, when Iblis was told to prostrate before Adam, Abba, he refused. Was takbara, he was arrogant, wa kana min al-kafirin. He became of the disbelievers. So we taught the three stages that lead to kufr. Number one, when you refuse to obey Allah. Number two, when you become stubborn in that and you say, no, I'm not going to obey Allah, and it becomes a matter of your ego with you. And number three, what's the outcome? You end up as a kafir. Now here Allah is saying, those who refused His worship and were proud. Once someone came up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked a very pertinent question. He said, O Messenger of Allah, we all love that, you know, our clothes should be good and our shoes should be good, and with that arrogance. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a beautiful reply. He said, no, Allah is beautiful. He loves beauty. Arrogance is when you reject the truth and you despise other people. That's arrogance. For instance, let's take a simple everyday example. We're at a wedding and we're all dressed up in our best clothes, and we hear the azan for Maghrib. Now we know that we should get up and pray right now because Maghrib's time is very short. But I think to myself, if I go for wuzu, my perfect makeup will be marred. And if I go for salat, my clothes will be crumpled. And I won't look that good anymore. And people will look down on me and think this Maulani, she had to get up and pray right now. That's one form of istikbar, of arrogance, when I valued my own appearance over Allah's will and command. Now these are Allah's words, those who refused His worship, those who turned away from Allah, those who disobeyed Allah. Why? Out of arrogance. They couldn't bear to be called Maulvis. They couldn't bear to be called Fundos. So what will happen to them? He will punish them with a painful torment. And they will not find for themselves besides Allah any protector or helper. Ya Yuhannas, O mankind, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بُرْهَانٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. There has come to you a convincing proof from your Lord, and we have sent down to you a manifest light. See how much Allah loves us. Not once, not twice, again and again He's saying, why don't you believe? Why don't you accept this truth when it is in your good? So as for those who believed in Allah and held fast to Him, Allah will admit them to His mercy and grace. وَيَهْدِيهِمْ إِلَيْهِ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا and guide them to Himself by the straight path. People say, oh, you know, if Allah wished me to pray, He would make me feel like praying, and I just don't feel like praying, so I'm not going to be a hypocrite and force myself to pray. Look at the sequence of the words. Allah says, those who believed in Allah and held fast to Him. We have to take that first step towards Allah. We have to seek His guidance. We have to force ourselves to obey in the beginning if we don't feel like it. And then Allah will guide us to Himself. يَهْدِ إِلَيْهِ مَنْ أَنَابْ. Allah guides towards Himself the one who seeks Allah. They ask you for a legal verdict. Say, Allah directs us about those who leave neither children nor parents. If it is a man that dies, leaving a sister but no child, she shall have half the inheritance. And if such a deceased was a woman who left no child, her brother takes her inheritance. If there are two sisters, they shall have two-thirds of the inheritance. And if they are brothers and sisters, the male will have twice the share of the female. Thus does Allah make clear to you His law, lest you go astray. Wallahu bikulli shayin alim. And Allah is the all-knower of everything. Now you might be wondering to yourself, why is the discourse shifted so abruptly? One minute Allah's talking about believing in Him and obeying Him, and the next minute Allah's telling us about inheritance. This is the beauty of the Quranic discourse, whereby Allah teaches us not to compartmentalize deen. Deen isn't just rituals. It isn't just reading salat and doing what I like the rest of the time. Deen is a way of life. So Allah reminds us that even in something as mundane, something which people dismiss like inheritance, oh, what difference does it make who we leave our money to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to mind. Allah reminds us this is part of Islam, and if we reject one part of Islam, it's like rejecting the whole. Wallahu bikulli shayin alim. Allah knows everything. He knows exactly how much we obey Him in every aspect of our life.